This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's start with the weather here. If you're just waking up for the first big weekend of Mardi Gras and you're getting ready to go set your little personal porta potty up, which you're not supposed to do, and I've never really seen these things, but Tim, have you ever seen a personal porta potty that they set up on a neutral ground? It's a mini tent, but does your head stick up out of the top or not? Are you all enclosed in it? Because I've seen boats where they have a supposed restroom on it or bathroom on it, but it's so small that the only thing that's enclosed is your neck below, and I just can't imagine being on something as small as a boat. I'm not kidding you. I've seen this. Being on something as small as a boat, trying to take care of nature, while everybody on a boat is there looking at you, and you know that they can't see anything that's private, but your head, I just don't understand how that could work. 28 degrees in Slidell right now. 30 degrees in New Orleans. We're off to a cold start. Could be a cold day. Highs of only 49, 56 tomorrow. But then Sunday, not looking good at all. Rainy and cold the entire day with highs of 53 and about a 90% chance for showers throughout the day. So I think we're talking about a washout that's terrible for the parades that are scheduled, but we'll try to find out more from Peyton Malone or some weather person in the future. We'll also talk to we'll also talk to Arthur Hardy, founder of the Mardi Gras Guy. Jeff Palermo joins us now, the WWL.com columnist, to talk about LSU baseball. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
You know, I couldn't help but think with the Tigers playing Omaha, if you can't get to Omaha, bring Omaha to you.
Right. It's almost like if you can't beat them, join them, right?
I started to make another reference about moving a mountain, but that's liable to get me on some type of death list somewhere, and I don't want to do that at all, that old saying. So let's talk about these Tigers. What's been Jay Johnson's approach so far?
Well, he's been playing a lot of players, and, you know, the competition has allowed them to do that. I mean, Purdue Fort Wayne is not a very good team. Southern is a lower class team as well, as far as talent wise, and so it's given them an opportunity to go out there and play a lot of players. And there's a lot of depth on this team, and you're still trying to sort out who could be the guy you're going to count on in right field, who's going to be counting on a designated hitter and catcher. And the thing is Jay Johnson talked about it yesterday, even though he's substituting a lot, if you would, there's really no drop-off, or there hasn't been. But it's still early. We'll see what happens when competition really ramps up. And when you look ahead to this weekend, Omaha, once again, is not a big test. Tulane swept them last weekend. They're picked to finish third in their conference, the Summit League. They haven't had a winning season since 2019, so it should be another weekend where Jay Johnson gets a chance to evaluate. You're at least playing another team. And really the competition as of right now is not so much the opponent. It's just the players within themselves as they fight for at-bats, playing time in the field, and fighting for the opportunity for the pitchers to be a starter or a guy that Jay Johnson can rely on in high leverage situations.
When it comes to Jay Johnson's called the, in college, I'm just a little bit confused here. Is it manager or coach? What's the nomenclature?
He's called a coach. Yeah, they don't call him a manager in college.
But when it comes to managing the season, the college baseball season, as I understand it, SEC plays on starts on March 14th, right, with Missouri?
Yes, yes.
So when it comes to managing the college baseball season with an eye toward getting to Omaha in the late spring, early summer, is he going about it the right way? Is now the time to like, for example, not playing when it's too cold? No, we don't need to do this. Is now the time? Is now the time to do that kind of thing? Treat it like a preseason or training camp almost, and then get ready for March 14th in Missouri?
Well, he's got a lot of talented players, and there's a lot of guys that deserve playing time. But when it, once we get into late April, early May, I would imagine he's going to settle in on, you know, a core group of guys as far as position player wise, you know, 10 guys or so that he's really going to count on. And then there's going to be four or five guys that really feel like they should be playing and they're not. And, he kind of saw that with, for instance, you know, like a guy like Paxton Kling last year, didn't get off to a good start. He was expected to be your starting center fielder all season long. He doesn't get off to a good start, and then he loses his he loses playing time. He loses his starting spot on the field, and he ends up transferring at the end of the season. I mean, that's kind of what happens. But Jay knows he recruited all these guys. He's got an idea of how to use them and potentially where to use them. So right now he's doing exactly what he should be doing. He's given a lot of guys a chance to get out there and play. As he said, you know, shake the newness of the season off, get those, you know, get that first at bat out of the way, or get those first few at bats out of the way, that first inning out of the way, and try to get into some sort of routine. They got a bunch of games coming up here now. They're going to be playing 4 days in a row, weather permitting on Sunday. They might have to play a doubleheader on Sunday or Saturday. Don't know that yet, but, you know, looking at the forecast, that's what it kind of tells you. And then they're playing Nichols on Monday, and then it's off to Texas to play four games. So he's trying to evaluate a lot right now, and, he'll keep evaluating, really, I think. But, though, when you get towards late April, that's when you kind of want to have a set. You kind of want to have an idea. And there's going to be injuries along the way, and certain guys are going to slump, and some of this is going to be figured out for you. But, you know, right now, there's a lot of guys that deserve playing time, but there's, you know, only eight positions on the field, and then you got pitcher and catcher. So they got a lot more than that. I mean, look, he's played 20 guys, 20 different position players so far through 4 days. So that gives you an idea of just the depth and the amount of players that he's trying to get in there and to evaluate.
But if the goal is Omaha, the city in the College World Series, not the team coming to town this weekend, then now's the time to let all that shake out, right? You drop a game here, you drop a game there. That's not the point. The point is seeing who plays where and what the best lineup is. Accurate?
Right, exactly. This is to kind of find out who you can count on. And you wish the competition would be a little tougher. Jay Johnson talked about it yesterday. Purdue Fort Wayne was a team they had to get in there at the last minute, basically, because they had another team that dropped out in September and they were almost forced to play on the road. Was LSU this opening weekend, and Jay didn't want to do that, so they end up having to basically settle in on Purdue Fort Wayne. So I know there's maybe a little mumbling about the scheduling as far as who he's scheduling in the preseason, but as they say, Tommy, it takes two to tango, right? You gotta have a team agree to want to come down to Alec Box Stadium, and some people want to make sure they try to pile some wins early on and don't want to come down to the box and potentially lose a series or get swept or something like that.
Yeah, but the again, you got to keep your eye on a prize, which is like you're saying, April and May, and then moving on to the city of Omaha, not the team. 6:24, time for traffic now. WWL. 6:28, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director, talking about LSU baseball. They're taking on Omaha tonight, this afternoon, really, 4 o'clock start.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We'll have the action for you here on our sister station. More on that. But, Jeff, with the time that's left, pregame at 3:30, I should mention, Jay Johnson's talked about small ball, gorilla ball, whatever you want to call it, later on in the season, Omaha. How do you determine what type of ball you're going to play? Is it about whom you have, about who you're playing when? They're pitching, you're hitting. Take me through all of that.
Well, a lot of it is on your personnel, right? I mean, you got to have some home run hitters. And, you know, one of the question marks on this team is, you know, Jared Jones is going to hit somewhere around 30 home runs this season if he's healthy. But who else is really going to supply the power on this team? And that's a big question. You know, Ashton Larson and Ethan Frye, two guys that are battling for some playing time, either at right field or designated hitter. They've hit home runs here recently. Daniel Dickinson's hit a home run. It looks like they got some other guys that could probably hit somewhere maybe between 15 and 20 home runs. But, you know, I think last year's team was a little bit more power-oriented. Because he had Jared Jones, he had Tommy White, you had a guy like Hayden Travinsky, but now you have a leadoff hitter in Chris Stanfield who could run a little bit. You know, Cario can run a little bit. Daniel Dickinson can run a little bit. I think this is going to be a team that's going to be a mix of both. They can hit the home run, but they're also going to be a little more aggressive on the base pass. I think really the last couple of seasons, even going back to the national championship season, they had such good hitters, they didn't want to really necessarily run into outs. They didn't want to potentially spoil big innings by making, you know, trying to steal base and getting thrown out and all that kind of stuff. So they really relied on the big inning because they had some guys, they had some outstanding hitters, especially 2 years ago. But this year, I think they're going to be a little bit more active on the base pass.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate your time. Have a great weekend. Go Tigers. Pregame 3:30, first pitch 4 o'clock, and that's all going to be on this afternoon, our sister station, the Bet 92.9 FM, 1350 AM, and, of course, the Odyssey app. Then Sunday, Tiger Baseball, if the weather allows, will be on WWL 105.3 FM and 870 AM. Pregame 12:30, first pitch at 1. Weather permitting, a little bit late time for WWL First News. For that, we go to the patient, Dave Cohen. 6:46, 14 till 7, Friday morning, February 21st. First big weekend of carnival coming up, although I don't mean any disrespect to all the carnival activities that have happened prior to today. And the problem is, cold tonight. You have to bundle everybody up if you go to parades tonight, but that's no big deal. It's dry, right? And then you're going to have, to bundle everybody up tomorrow when you go to the parades. That's no big deal. The problem is Sunday when they're talking about a 100% chance, well, not 100%, but a 90% chance for showers, cold, rainy all day long. I would just say, Tim earlier saying it's going to rain Sunday, but they've been wrong before. You never know. Arthur Hardy joins us now, the founder of the Mardi Gras Guide. How you doing, Arthur Hardy?
Oh, couldn't be more better, as we say in New Orleans, huh? Got a good night's sleep, ready to rock and roll.
I've been seeing you on Channel 12 a lot. You've been doing a lot of work with Peggy, Scott Laborde, and Andre Laborde. No, what's his name?
Yeah, Andre Laborde was a former student of mine, and Brother Martin, and we worked together at WSMB about 100 years ago.
Fun fact, he and I used to read the newspaper for the blind people way back in the 70s a long time
ago. Really?
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Did not know that, but yeah, it's a busy season. Then come Ash Wednesday, nobody wants me, you know. So I've got to enjoy it while I can.
So tell me about this year's Mardi Gras Guide. I know you don't own it anymore, but how involved are you with the production of it?
Oh, completely. We sold the magazine last year to George's Media Group, John George's, Tom Spicky, Undola.com, and they're doing all the heavy lifting, ad sales, printing, distribution, but I'm completely in control of the magazine, every page,
awesome.
Including mistakes.
Well, no, but you did a great job this year, as always.
Well,
I just
want
to talk about the guide, because I didn't know we were going to get one. I bought one when I was at Rouse's, I think I saw it. But
you should know better.
Well, sometimes, you know, I just want to make sure I have it. And I like to have a copy to keep anyway, because sometimes I leave it when we're out there doing Mardi Gras coverage. Tell me about this year's guide before we get to the weekend's parades.
Well, this year we decided to include the St. Patrick's parades and Easter parades. First time ever, because Mardi Gras is so late. And we've expanded our Louisiana coverage. Subscribers to the Picayune in New Orleans and the Advocate in Baton Rouge and the Acadiana Times and Lafayette all get copies with their subscription, so we've kind of expanded the reach of the magazine. But, you know, our usual features on all the major parades and the ones, as you said, that they're pre-season, but don't call them minor, because there's some big parades that have already happened. And, you know, and a lot of features on some of the movers and shakers. You know, I'm excited to be doing this at least one more year. That'll be our 50th anniversary next year. And after that, supposedly I'm out, but we'll see. You know, I love doing this, Tommy. You know, it's not work when you enjoy it, and I've been blessed to have a job.
Don't get out. Keep doing
it. Well, we'll
see. I don't know what the legalities are and all of that stuff, but you do a great job. You were meant to do this, and you do it well, so keep doing it. Let's talk about this weekend's parades tonight.
Well, you know, this weekend, there are more parades this weekend than next weekend, 18 parades, but specifically tonight, I'm going to start in Metairie, 725 female members, 34 floats, a really big parade. The bad news is the police have changed the viewing experiences, shall we say. There's no parking along parade routes, and traditionally people have parked their pickup trucks there, got a barbecue pit out. Ain't going to happen anymore, and so people are going to have to park in the neighborhoods. But it's really a good parade. In Metairie, you know, Family Girl kicks off, Excalibur Parade, some of the prettiest costumes you'll ever see, because the captain is also the costume makers, and they're doing a neat new throw this year. It's a giant plastic eggshell with little plush dragons inside, so that's cool. Big doubleheader, Uptown Ocean, which has moved its starting time up to 5:30, 16 floats. They have handmade fans that throw up. Then the biggie, Cleopatra, 2,800 women, Tommy, all-time high, new tandem floats. They hand out decorated beverage glasses, and they've changed their route. You know, last couple of years, they've had floats hit trees coming off of Jefferson to Magazine, so they're going to change the route and start a chop of Tulis and Napoleon. So we should have no issues with trees there. And these parades, in theory, should just roll back-to-back without any issues. ALA used to be tonight, and that was a problem. Third parade of the triple header, they were ending at 1 o'clock in the morning, nobody outside there to see them. So they've moved to the spot vacated by Knicks on Wednesday, next Wednesday following Druids. So I think it's a good move for everybody. And the big concern this weekend, as you mentioned, is rain on Sunday. And that's such a great Sunday for parades. And I haven't talked to any captains yet about any contingency plans. If you get rained on or rained out, what happens? But I'll be working the phones this morning.
I bet you will. Let's take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. 6:51, 9 till 7. Arthur Hardy, founder of the Mardi Gras Guide. Well, do they got a nickname for you, Mister?
Nah, not Mister Mardi Gras. Blaine earned that title and died with him. But I don't care, as long as they buy a magazine, right?
Yeah, I did an interview years ago. Remember you and Blaine Kern together, and it was kind of like a Clint Eastwood movie with you two in there. It was like you and whoever, the Eli Wallach facing off. I'm just kidding. 6:52, 8 till 7. Traffic now. WWL. 6:57 and a half. I just went to paulsimon.com, look at the ticket prices. I'm going to talk to Fifth District about a second mortgage to see if I can go to that. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Big Mardi Gras weekend coming up. So on Sunday, and I don't want to skip over Saturday, we'll get back to that. But you got Dionysia, big parade. You got Femme Fatale, Carrollton, King Arthur, Dionysius and Slidell, Atlas and Metairie. Do you know if there are availabilities to make these things up? Because, again, if you put one behind the other, then you got people out there till 1 o'clock.
It's going to be pretty tough for Sunday's parades, you know, unless they go at night. And I don't know, but like I said, we'll be working the phones today. One quick thing I want to mention, This is the first time this has happened in 49 years of publishing. The Mad Hatter's Parade, which is the biggest parade in Metairie, that's Dr. Joey Lacoste and his wife Gwen. Really good parade, a lot of celebrities. Anyway, first time ever in the Mardi Gras Guide, I have the wrong text next to their parade, for which I've apologized. We ran a correction in the Picayune. Fortunately, they have a full-page ad next to that.
Yeah, right next to it.
Tells you everything about it. Yeah. But talk about embarrassing for a great parade. They spend money advertising with us. What do? I'll put the wrong parade next.
Well,
it's never happened before.
Look,
but
it happens, sure, right?
Mistakes happen, right?
What about new in throws this year, Arthur? Are people first of all, I got to ask you this before we run out of time. Did I invent Shacus for Bacchus, or did somebody else come up with that, Shacus?
Don't know. Maybe take credit for it. Who's going to
put a mark on that? Tim, get the Secretary of State's office on the phone. Put a mark on that.
Royalties.
I want to own it.
Royalties on the way, my
Instead
friend.
Instead of Bacchus, it's Shacus, right?
I love it.
There you go, Tommy. Maybe I did invent it. All right, what about new in throws this year? Are they trying to be more environmentally friendly or what?
Yes, they are, and crew signature throws, float-specific throws. People don't want beads and plastic anymore, and it evolves, and you spend a lot of money if you're riding in a rod. Mardi Gras parade, dues is just a part of it, right?
There's nothing more frustrating than you throwing beads and people haven't even been able to pick them up because they want long pearls and everything else. Thank you, Arthur. Have a great weekend.
Right.
We'll talk to you again next week, my friend. Taking a break. Coming back, WWL.